Here we are, peekaboo motherfuckers.
Yo!
Anybody? Woo! Bueller? Bueller? Are we awake here in Satanic Study Hall?
No, I just woke up.
Well, I am now.
I took my caffeine pill.
I told you to change that intro. You still haven't done it yet.
How? Oh, man, that's going to be expensive. It's going to be expensive.
Pay who you have to pay.
Exactly.
Pay who I have to pay. There's this band Siberia I heard of.
No.
He said no. Well, shit. All right. Well, call to action to all of our listeners. Apparently, we need a new intro because my license has expired.
Your life is going to as well if you keep playing.
Oh, my Lanta. So if there's about 25 seconds of silence before you hear us cut in and say hello next time, just you know why. Okay.
I'm Johnny Voorhees. This is my podcast now. That's
right. Class.
Bow to me.
Class is indeed in session, isn't it?
I like the sound of the Johnny Show.
The Johnny Show? Yes, it does. It does sound good.
Oh, fuck you, Belial.
There's one of those old school, like, episode two or three Johnny moods I think we're running with right now. Just straight to the point. Let's record and get the fuck out of here.
Exactly.
All right. So, welcome to Satanic Study Hall. My name is Bill Rohr. I am a member of the Satanic Temple, and today I am joined by these mofos.
I am Veronica the Valedictorian. I am a Satanist and aligned with the Seven Tenets.
I'm Al, and I still don't know what the fuck I'm doing here.
Hey, there's only room for one funny guy here, and that's me.
Welcome, Al.
No, there's room for you too, Al. I'm just kidding.
More on Al in just a second.
What?
I
already introduced
turn, right?
myself.
Did you? And yeah. You say you're Johnny Voorhees, and we start with Veronica, and then what's it?
They know I'm here. I don't have to say my name.
That's right. He does not. He who shall not be named is
that's somebody
is
else.
Tonight. Yes. What is Satanic Study Hall, Johnny?
I don't know. What is it?
Satanic Study Hall is a podcast.
You do it.
Fine. Damn, I'm just fishing a little bit. I'm like, all right, Johnny, want to do this time?
If you put it up on the screen, I would have read it.
Oh, I don't have that down. I figured you've heard it come out of my mouth enough to be able to just, you know.
No, if you
rattle right off.
I don't know. Do you have it written down? If you
no.
do, say it again.
No, I wish I did.
We'll just I gotta cut get it the in. Dean. There's gonna be a fight in study hall soon.
Can I look up Satanic Study Hall in the Urban Dictionary? What the hell would I find there?
Ooh. No, don't you have it in the?
I gotta add something.
You have it in the drive?
Now that you bring that up,
like the intro.
I might.
I'm waiting for our
all
Wikipedia page.
All I say is we are a podcast featuring a rotating bench of Satanists and members of the Satanic Temple, where we cover Satanism from its inception to modern day and news and entertainment. And
I'll try it.
If you're listening to this podcast, I'm so sorry. The hell is wrong with you? Get a life.
That's right. Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.
Did everybody get that?
And
before I was so rudely interrupted.
And Johnny, what are we talking about?
By everybody in study hall.
What are we talking
Stop
about?
Stop looking at me.
What do we talk about on Satanic Study Hall?
We talk about everything. Satanic. Everything's satanic.
How do you get in touch with us? SatanicStudyHall@gmail.com. Questions, comments, concerns. You should be concerned after this episode.
Hate mail, bomb threats.
Suggestions. And then if you have any interest in supporting us on Patreon, you can do so.
Not anymore.
At patreon.com/satanicstudyhall. So typically we're going to do that. We're going to try to get back to some routine here. Let's go around the room. Veronica, how was your week?
Anything
fun and exciting?
I bought a gun. I am soon going to be a...
bank robber?
Exactly.
Don't spoil it.
Spoiler alert.
No, I'm really excited, though. I bought my first pistol.
Sweet.
I am now the proud owner of a firearm.
Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
I feel bad for anyone who fucks with her.
I do, too, Al.
Yes. We can all go shooting soon. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, me too.
Satanic shooting ranges. everywhere, all over the country.
Well, you can shoot theirs.
On a completely unrelated note.
Pay for the rental and pay for the ammo. Yeah, man.
Nice.
Absolutely.
On a completely unrelated note, is there anywhere we could get life-size cutouts of Jesus?
I'm sure there is.
I'm sure.
with a giant, you know, like target on it.
Target.
Yes. He's getting me excited.
I like it.
You can just use the Google machine. I'm sure you'll find something.
I got the valedictorian excited. Oh.
What about you, special friend Al? Anything new and exciting on your end?
Nothing really. Just trying to survive the pandemic. Just trying to keep my old business going. So that's it. Yay. Exciting life.
Just skip right over me.
And right over Johnny. Okay.
What about you there, William?
What about me? Like I'd say skip over me, and I'm just sound like you the last couple of weeks, the same shit, different underwear.
Exactly. I don't have to say it every time.
It's same shit, different underwear. I'm trying to think if anything really happened that was exciting. I had some good pizza. Kids are doing okay in their lovely virtual learning environment, and thankfully go back. I don't know. No, I can't say thankfully, because after they start going back in the hybrid model, a week later, someone's going to get COVID, and it's going to be right back to full virtual learning. It seems to be happening everywhere, but going to give it a shot. They've been prisoners in their own home since March. So. Yes.
Which is more than half a year at this point, in case anybody wasn't aware of that.
And how come we have to be here?
Yeah.
Shouldn't they shut the school down?
I don't know, but there goes one of
the hell was that?
I think that was the English teacher leaving on his motorcycle again.
Again?
Oh. And he's in and out all day long. Nice. I don't know, maybe he teaches at another school or some shit. One thing that is exciting and fun that I can report on is, do you remember last week when that stupid study hall teacher cut in and told us that we had that special announcement, we had to go back to homeroom and everything?
I do.
Well, I think it is time we announce to everybody what that special announcement was, because it was a pretty fucking awesome announcement. You guys ready?
Yes.
I don't have a drum roll on the soundboard here, but there you go. All right. Thank you. All right. That was fantastic.
Thanks, Belial. He helped.
He did help. So basically what this special announcement is we are going to partner up with an awesome clothing and art and design company called Dark Art Depository.
We're getting school uniforms, Bill, finally?
Almost. Almost. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to wear these specific clothing items to school based on dress code restraints, but what I can say
there's a dress code? I saw the girls running around in lingerie.
Where did you see them? What building?
In what wing?
Yeah, I want to know too.
Dark Art Depository.
Yes. Dark Art Depository. So you can find them and check out what they've got to offer at darkartdepository.com. They're also working with our friends over at Baffinet. Baffinet has their own line through Dark Art Depository where you can get awesome t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, masks, all sorts of cool stuff on there.
Really cool stuff.
And one of the things I'm looking forward to the most is wearing the new Be Kind, Hail Satan shirt. All designs are original, and you are not going to find them anywhere else. So please, there's a whole bunch of different designs. There's short sleeve, long sleeve, t-shirts. I believe there's pajama bottoms,
hoodies,
backpacks,
even some
shoes.
Backpacks. Yeah, get a backpack for school.
Good stuff on there. I know there's the Avis Satanis one. I'm looking forward to. I got a short sleeve one coming in, and I also there's that bomber jacket I saw.
Nice.
Yeah, he posted about the bomber jacket, and that looks fucking awesome.
Yeah,
I would love to see a Satanic Study Hall logo on the back of a bomber jacket.
Fucking awesome.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yes, it would.
All right, but I definitely want to shout out them. Check out what they've got to offer, darkartdepository.com. So, today's episode, we are coming off of a fun episode where we did the AV card. We talked about the witch and we summoned the darkness. That was a lot of fun.
Yes,
and
it was.
Al kind of made his podcast debut.
Yay.
Last week.
We love you, Al.
We've been talking about Al for a while now. Al's been our special friend. He's been a Patreon supporter. And so having Al here today is really fucking cool, because Al's going to take us on a journey. There are some things and some shit that Al has been through. Al's seen some things. And we're going to learn a little bit about his journey, as we do most of our special guests that come in. And Veronica, I realized we have barely even scratched the surface. We've been very vague and generic with your background. We never really put you under the...
I'm a mysterious Valedictorian.
We're going to have to do the Val Victorian episode?
I think that's... Whoa. I just want to plant the seed with that.
It's the quiet ones you have to worry about.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I can't let the lapse go on for too long. True. So more on that later. But as long as Veronica is willing to open the door a little bit, I think we'll have some fun with that.
I can divulge some secrets.
Sweet.
Excellent. So, Al...
Hi.
What's up? I do want to thank you for joining us and kind of giving us some insight as to what you bring to the table, which might paint the picture on some of the perspective you have around the cool topics we talk about on Satanic Study Hall. And in just a little bit, we're going to take the deep dive into your background with religion, childhood, all that fucking lovely, mushy stuff.
Yay. I'm an open book. It's like the Necronomicon.
Before we get into that, we are going to move on to talk about a few more things, one of them being our charitable initiative drive. You heard in the first couple episodes, if you remember, we talked about how we were going to focus on charitable initiatives, talking about them and participating in them. COVID-19 really has not been very charity friendly.
No,
and
it
group
hasn't.
Activity friendly or not walk friendly. All. So there's
only so many Zoom charity events, Zoom things you can do before you go out of your mind.
And everybody was doing them simultaneously, and it just really, you know, didn't give anybody a real opportunity or give anything the attention that it really deserved.
No, the Zoom orgy was very boring. Just saying. Back to satanic-friendly charities.
Satanic-friendly charities. Satanic-friendly orgies. Satanic-friendly charities. Right, I'm going to get them mixed up in my head. Satanic-friendly charities. So we are looking to develop a relationship or relationships with people who are satanic-friendly. Well, there's no really real better way to say it other than that. If any of our listeners have any ideas, what can they do, Al?
And they can definitely reach out. You know, we're always looking for good ideas. The most important thing is to find satanic friendly, because there's a lot of worthwhile organizations out there, homeless shelters, domestic violence shelters. But, you know, especially if they're like, you know, religiously affiliated, as soon as you say Satanist, they're going to be like, no, thanks. Shut the door in your face. So, you know, the most important thing is if any of our listeners, you know, belong to any of these organizations or have friends and can say, yo, these guys just want to help you. And, you know, just want to help out people, then, you know, that would be huge.
And we want to use our platform effectively, and we want to use it, you know, intelligently.
Yes.
So we're completely open, but we want to make sure that any relationships that develop from this are done, you know, in the right way.
Yes.
In the right form and progressively. We're not looking for a one and done. We definitely, from a networking standpoint, would love to develop and nurture a relationship with a couple of different groups. Now, always remember too, listeners, if you're fortunate enough to be able to donate, or just, you know, in any way, shape, or form can donate any of, you know, any, whether it's $5, consider donating to the Satanic Temple. There's a lot of initiatives that are going on within the temple that we're all well aware of, whether it's the religious rights campaign or the abortion rituals to, you know, small things that are still on the table with things like After School Satan or all the stuff the Gray Faction's doing. So definitely keep them in mind in regards to donation. One thing I want to remind our listeners of, and ourselves of, you know, Johnny, Al, Veronica, and Dennis, who's still sitting in school suspension serving out his time.
Has anyone checked on him? I mean, has anyone like dropped off bread or water? He's been down there for like 3 days now.
Yeah, I walked by. There was some movement.
I pointed at
twitching.
There was a bologna sandwich on a paper plate within arm's reach of him. So
did he use the mustard packets to like write out help me?
I don't know. Every time I go down there, I get this vibe where like, you know, he likes to make fun of Johnny for this sloth thing. When I go to the basement, I don't know. I feel like I'm going to run into Sloth from the Goonies, like on a chain, fucking breaking free, telling me he wants to eat some Rocky Road ice cream.
I pointed and laughed at him. Who's Sloth now, motherfucker?
Oh, shit. But anyways, like I said, whether as a group, we can donate our time in many different ways, and it doesn't always have to be your money, either as an individual or a group. One thing we've been talking about is how important it is to, you know, just find a spot in your local community that needs some TLC, jump on it. And, you know, we can still work within social distancing and public gathering restrictions and make a difference in your community. That's one thing we are going to work on, and we'll report on it after. There's no reason to, you know, say this is what we're going to do. Everybody, you know, look at us. It's something that's going to mean and something to us as a group and bring us closer, and hopefully at the same time, you know, serve a good purpose, and you'll be able to help clean up a section of the community that needs some love. So on top of that, though, if any of our listeners are currently involved in anything like that or any type of initiative or plan to be involved with any activism or volunteering, let us know so we can help spread the word.
Most definitely.
Mm-hmm. We have an interesting platform here. And if there's some cool shit going on out there that you need, you know, whether it's just awareness and letting people know what's up or just some really good stories about, you know, some feel good shit that's happening or that might brighten somebody else's day, please spread it to us. Let us know and we'll help put it out there.
Especially now, you know, during an election year, they're not very positive times, and we're in a pandemic election year. So any force for good we can be this year would be awesome.
I couldn't agree more. Degenerates, lend me thy ears.
Yes.
It's story time.
Yay.
Story time, story time.
I love story time.
All right.
Is this Abigail too? Oh,
no. No.
Okay.
I wish.
Yeah, I wish, because yeah, that was fantastic. We're talking about the movie or the music review from last week. It was amazing. Anyways, the Satanic Temple sues over banned billboards. Anybody check this article out?
Yes.
I think we did.
That's good news.
Yeah, and then we don't have no content.
Yes, if you didn't, we would have to just jump right in to Al. All right. So the Satanic Temple is suing Lamar Billboard Company over some shit. They are not giving them what they wanted. And what the Satanic Temple wanted was some billboards to talk about their religious abortion ritual. So we are going to read the press release provided by the Satanic Temple. This was put out on September 30th, 2020, and we got this from PRNewsWire.com. So, Johnny, take it away.
The Satanic Temple has sued the Lamar Billboard Company over allegations of religious discrimination and breach of contract after Lamar refused to post TST's designs that announce its religious abortion ritual. Sincere performance of the ritual exempts members from complying with many state regulations, such as mandatory waiting periods and compulsory counseling, that are not medically necessary and violate TST's religious beliefs.
TST contracted with Lamar to display a total of 8 billboards in Indiana and Arkansas that promote TST's religious ritual. TST intended to place these billboards near fake abortion clinics, also known as crisis pregnancy centers, which purport to offer pregnancy-related services but instead attempt to deter patrons from terminating their pregnancy, often using tactics that involved deception and intimidation. Indiana and Arkansas are home to many fake abortion clinics.
TST informed Lamar that the billboard designs would be pro-reproductive rights and would align with TST's religious beliefs, and was assured by Lamar that this would not be a problem. However, after TST submitted their billboard artwork, Lamar rejected all 4 designs. Lamar's contract states that they may reject or remove any billboard that is not in good taste and in line with the moral standards of the individual communities in which it is to be displayed.
When TST asked what explicit elements of the designs Lamar considered troublesome, TST was told that all of the content was misleading and offensive. TST expressed willingness to update its designs. However, Lamar refused to specify any component that they believe is problematic, so it was not possible for TST to offer revisions.
As TST's designs contained satanic imagery, and Lamar objected to all of the content, TST contends that Lamar has engaged in religious discrimination. Additionally, TST claims Lamar acted in bad faith and has deprived TST of the ability to advertise its religious abortion ritual as it holds a monopoly over much of the U.S. billboard market.
TST co-founder and spokesperson Lucian Greaves says, while it is understandable to be concerned with forcing a private entity to engage in speech or conduct it objects to, the scenario is different. Lamar initially agreed to work with us, and their rejection appears to be religiously based. In addition, they have a virtual monopoly in certain regions. In this way, Lamar is able to regulate public speech, and they are not permitted to selectively exclude religious voices they object to.
Wow.
Interesting.
That is crazy. Fucking nuts.
Where would you like to start with this story, everyone? Yeah. This is juicy.
This is going to be an interesting ride.
let me jump in first. I mean, it's clearly something that's going to have to be battled out in the courts. I mean, I think at the end of the day, Lamar's just doesn't want the backlash from the public. And that's what I'm getting. Even though they're not, you know, I mean, look, they're providing a service and, you know, they're like, well, you know, maybe they say we have to do it or something like that. I mean, like, I mean, look at the, you know, the Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission, where, you know, they didn't want to make a cake for a, I believe it was a couple in the LGBTQIA community plus community.
Yes.
And, you know, that. I mean, it's something like that. In addition, there's also, you know, it could also be considered censorship. I mean, the thing is, this is going to be a hot button topic or issue. I mean, you know, abortion is a very polarizing topic in this country. I mean, you know, there's no kind of middle ground on this. I mean, if you think about it, you know, if you've got a pro-life billboard up, the pro-choice people are going to be all pissed off. And if you have a pro-choice billboard, vice versa.
Yes, I mean, but they both are allowed to be up.
Right. But you're going to have people that are calling and complaining about it. They're going to be saying, well, you know, I don't, yeah, possibly like, I don't like this. You know, another thing is, you know, in the current climate of our society, you've got traveling along I-95 outside Philadelphia. You've got Black Lives Matter billboards, and then you've got Back the Blue billboards.
And the interesting thing that to come out of that is that Lamar, the word Lamar is at the bottom of almost all of their billboards. It's Lamar, right? Clear Channel, all the way up and down most highways, yeah, throughout the United States, from, in my understanding.
Wow. Yeah.
So like the article says, they do have a monopoly in certain regions.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. I know they're, you know, Lamar's going to get a flood of complaints if this happens, and then maybe they just don't want to deal with it, or people internally like Chick-fil-A are just following a, you know, a Christian belief system and just say, we don't, you know, we don't like this. Yeah, I've got one interesting thing that happened recently outside of Philadelphia that made the news. There was actually a stand against hate billboard outside of, you know, along 95, like around South Philadelphia. And I guess someone went up with this giant cloth with this for this Patriot Front group, I believe it is, and draped it over the billboard. And you can find, if you look up, you know, Philadelphia billboard stand against hate, you can actually find a picture of it. I think I saw it on Reddit, but I mean, I literally drove by and saw it. So like, again, it, you know, this kind of stuff in the public, you know, realm is going to, you know, inflame people's passions and emotions. And I'm sure Lamar just doesn't want to deal with that backlash.
Now, do you think they're going to have difficulty proving religious discrimination?
I don't think they'll have much difficulty. No. I mean, if it's a billboard company that, you know, is known for already putting up pro-life, pro-choice, whatever it is. And I mean, I think we've all seen all four of the designs that were submitted. I didn't find anything particularly offensive about them. It didn't even look, the first one especially, I mean, it doesn't even, with the exception of the text at the bottom, you can't even really tell it's religiously affiliated.
Now, if anybody wants to look along, quickly pull out your phone or press pause or, yeah, pull up. You can pull up your Google while you're listening to us on most podcast platforms. Check out some of these images as we talk about them. First one we're going to talk about here is, what if abortion had been an option? Now, this one, this one got my, it was the very first one I saw about, around what was going on here and the banners that we're trying to pick up. Johnny, what are you looking at right now?
I'm looking at, it looks like a mom holding up an adult Adolf Hitler.
Who's doing a Nazi salute.
Yes.
But is really tiny compared to her.
Is that his
like
mother?
A baby.
Is that his
I
mother?
Think it's probably his mother, yes. And then that gives the whole title, what if abortion had been an option? Right. So much more meaning. And at the bottom, it says, our religious abortion ritual averts many state restrictions.
Followed by the Satanic Temple's plug and a logo in one of the corners.
It's a mix, yes. Is it? Does it have shock value?
Absolutely.
That's what they're going for.
Talking about aborting Hitler.
It's kind of like elegant shock value, though. If you see the image, you know what I'm talking about.
It is.
It's not very...
It is
how do
elegant,
I say it?
What if?
It's not too inflammatory. I've been to I was forced to go to pro-life marches back in Catholic school, and these are very tame compared to some of the things that the pro-lifers would hold up at that march, at those marches.
Now, the next one's pretty simple. It's mostly text. Pregnancy complications are the sixth most common cause of death among women between the ages of 20 and 34. And in the biggest text, it says abortion save lives. Our religious abortion ritual averts many state restrictions, as mentioned before. with the Satanic Temple logo. Pretty simple, straight to the point.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This kind of reminds me of something I heard a long time ago, and you can fact check me on this, but you know, someone once asked, like, who's the biggest provider of, or yeah, basically the biggest provider of abortions out there. And the answer is God, because apparently like 10% of all pregnancies end in miscarriages. Now, I'm not sure how accurate that number is, but it still proves a point.
I like that. I've never really heard it put like that before.
Me neither.
That's fucking brilliant. Now the next one. I think this is a toss-up between Hitler and what I'm looking at right now. So I'm looking at some cake batter. And I'm looking at, it looks like a sperm just getting ready to fertilize an egg. Now, the batter says, not a cake on the bottom. And the egg says, not a baby at the bottom.
You're never going to win this argument with the
Christians.
This
is going back to what you were saying, the case with the cake batter versus, you know, the cake.
It's four little words that this is the reason this is never going to resonate with Christians. Life begins at conception. I should put that in quotes, but that's what they're always going to stick to.
Yeah, this one and Hitler definitely have some shock value to it. But, you know, like just like you said, there's precedents been set apparently with Lamar and all types of different billboards that they've allowed up. So what else we got on this one?
I mean, go ahead.
Jinx, Master Jinx, give me beer.
Fine, it's me. The only thing I just want to add in terms of discrimination is, you know, first of all, to follow up on what was earlier said, you know, it's not a matter in the courts of proving it. It's a matter of, I mean, if you're talking about in, you know, Indiana or Arkansas, like, are you going to be able to get, if like it's a civil case or something, are you going to get an entire jury to agree on it, especially if it's in a rather religious area?
That's exactly what I was gonna say.
Right.
Exactly. I'm wondering if they tried it in a different area, and I know they placed these specifically, and just for my, you know, this has been an education for me. I just learned that these fake abortion clinics were a thing.
Yep.
I didn't know they existed until I read this article. I assume they're spaced out probably more so along the South, and these billboards were strategically placed so that you'd be influenced to maybe skip your trip to the fake abortion clinic where you're going to be consulted down a very pro-life route, regardless of, you know, what's in your best interest. So I am wondering if they maybe tried this in a different region. Do you think it would work out a little bit differently or?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I'm out West. You're going to get a lot different response if you put this, you know, East Coast, Norton, you know, in the Mid-Atlantic, many places in California. I'm not going to say all of California because there's still some crazy conservative sex of Cali. But
yep. And at that point, if Lamar agreed to, you know, put these kinds of billboards in a different region of the country, would they then be, you know, what would be the argument for placing them, taking them away from Indiana and Arkansas?
Where is Lamar themselves based, like the company itself?
I don't think it matters. They're nationwide. They're like the largest billboard company. So, I mean,
but more so for as far as like values, like company values, it's kind of driven by home base locations. I mean, take Chick-fil-A, for example, like that.
You're right.
I'd be interested to see, because I mean, my guess is if their case, TST's case would get even stronger if they were based out of, you know, this general area, as opposed to not, you know, applying different standards to their home turf, as opposed to, you know, just doing business the way they should.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, the biggest thing about this is it's going to be able to, you know, prove discrimination, which, you know, discrimination has a lot of gray areas. Plus, I mean, you've got a lot of creative lawyers who can think up any old reason to argue in their favor. I mean, one thought when I was reviewing this in terms of discrimination was the Fair Housing Act. I'm involved in real estate and whatnot. And kind of want to throw this out there. This might shock a lot of people, but the comparison I'm about to make. But first of all, let me just define the Fair Housing Act protects people from discrimination when they are renting or buying a home, getting a mortgage, seeking housing assistance, or engaging in other housing-related activities. Now, the Fair Housing Act specifically prohibits certain things that you can't discriminate against. Race or color, national origin, religion, sex, familial status, or disability.
Right.
And, you know, let's use our favorite valedictorian here as an example. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that hypothetically, just let's use some, you know, rather non-valedictorian descriptions of you. Let's say you're a a dark-skinned individual from, you know, Nigeria, who is Muslim, who is I'll keep you female, who has, you know, 10 kids under the age of 18 and is in a wheelchair. I cannot discriminate against you because of any of those factors. However, I could discriminate against you because you're wearing a leather jacket. I could say, I don't rent to people who wear leather jackets. And that within the National Fair Housing Law is completely legal. It's completely
loopholes.
It's completely ridiculous, but it's absolutely legal. That only says what you're allowed to discriminate against. It doesn't say what you're not allowed to discriminate. So anything else is up for play. And one other thing is that the state and local, like, they may have additional laws that cover, like, career, like, sexual orientation or what. Like, there could be other things on a state or local level, but that's just the federal. So don't say, well, in my state it's this, in my state it's that. I'm just talking about the federal level. There could be other laws, but on the federal level, that's the way it is. You can discriminate against completely ridiculous stuff except for those items.
So hypothetically, Lamar would be able to, when this case does get to trial, Lamar could say, oh, we're not discriminating against you based on, you know, anything religious. We, you know, it's Hitler in that one designs case, or
exactly,
it's something else.
Exactly. Okay. They could use any other, and there any were other small they detail. Were extremely vague in it. They basically just said, they refused to say why they weren't going to allow, like, what needed to be changed, is to say, we just don't like it all outright. So that's kind of to cover their own ass in case they do get sued.
I was just
going
to say, it was
sued.
Probably intelligent of them to take that route, is to say not nothing, like you
exactly.
said.
Exactly. Evil, but intelligent. The less you can use to bury yourself, the better.
Fucking corporate lawyers.
One idea I had was, why doesn't TST, I mean, they should just fundraise to buy their own literal billboard. I mean, it's going to cost a hell of a lot of money, but, you know, it'd be awesome. I mean, they could put kind of whatever they wanted to within the boundaries of the law up, and
maybe not even billboards, just, I mean, side of, I mean, rent building space, big ass fucking banners, billboard sized,
paint a damn mural.
Seriously, fuck it. Then bring Baphomet along to say hello.
Yeah, but seriously, like, a very, you know, educational story for me. I wish them luck in taking on this battle. I really do, because wow,
there's a lot going on. There is a lot going on. This is only going to fuel the fire for the whole movement.
They're used to fighting battles, though. That's what they do.
All right. Well, that was fun. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Thank you for coming to class prepared today. I appreciate it.
I didn't say anything.
I like the material.
Why didn't you say anything?
I had nothing to say. I had nothing of relevance.
All right, Johnny. Johnny.
Is
it group therapy time?
The dog ate his homework.
I think Lyle did.
Lyle.
He ate it.
Where's that little bastard?
He's eaten a couple of my notes, too. I can vouch for Johnny with this.
He's nipping at your feet.
Now it's time to read the Devil's Dictionary.
Hello, Study Hall. Welcome to another edition of the Devil's Dictionary. Today's word is hypocrisy. Definition of hypocrisy. A feigning to be what one is not, or to believe what one does not. Behavior that contradicts what one claims to believe or feel. An act or instance of hypocrisy. The false assumption of an appearance of virtue or religion. Hypocrisy used in a sentence. When his private messages were made public, they revealed his hypocrisy. The hypocrisy of people who say one thing but do another drives me nuts. Where are my Fortnite V-Bucks, Dad? That's all, degenerates. We hope everyone had an awesome Halloween, and remember, as always, don't be a dick. Ave Satanas.
All right, it is time to get to know our special friend Al a little more. We met Al just a few months back. I believe it was Bonfire number one, right, Johnny? Were you there?
No, I wasn't there. Do you know why I wasn't there, Bill? Made plans to be a tag team in my backyard hardcore match.
Shit.
And you bailed out on me for a fucking bonfire.
I double booked myself.
A bonfire, Bill.
So was it a handicap?
Fuck you, Bill.
Was it a handicap match instead? You never told me about this.
Yes.
Why did you wait till today to bring it up?
I've been harboring it for a while now.
Did you win?
No.
Fuck. How bad was it?
Oh, dude. You saw my face afterwards?
I did, but you said that was...
I said my wife beat me up.
That's because I wasn't sure if I could talk about that on air.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm still pissed at you for that.
I'm sorry, Johnny. I won't make it up to you, but...
Veronica was supposed to be our manager.
Yeah. But Veronica was at the bonfire with me.
Yeah, I ditched for the bonfire. It was a dope-ass...
Fuck both of you.
In our defense, though, just like
fuck you. Saying,
it was a good bonfire.
It was an awesome bonfire.
It was a great night.
A great bonfire.
Is where we met Al.
Yes. And since then, Al's been a supporter of Satanic Study Hall. We've been referring to him as our special friend since that very night. We couldn't say Al at first.
I kind of wanted to remain a little anonymous, and then I just said, you know, what the hell?
Said, fuck it.
Life is short.
It's 2020.
It's not going to, this podcast isn't going to get that big anyway, right?
No, not at all. There's like 10 people that listen to us.
Oh, okay, cool. I mean, like, that's what I thought. That's what you told me.
I think like three of them are my
family. Because we don't have a $50 tier.
it's still all under consideration. All right. So what we usually do with newcomers to the podcast and our rotating bench of degenerates is dive in a little bit and get to know you. So, Al, not to put the spotlight on you too quickly and too heavily, but can you maybe tell us about your childhood, a little bit about growing up and maybe your relationship with religion when you were younger?
Oh, boy. Grew up in the Philadelphia area. Childhood wasn't that great. I mean, yeah, mom had a issue with drinking, some mental issues, things like that. Lived with her. Dad was around, but he was distant in not necessarily the ways you'd think. Like, he was a successful business professional. He lived with his mother and, you know, he's kind of a mama's boy, kind of an introvert. They were never married. So I'm an only child. I mean, you know, it was tough growing up. A lot of shit that, you know, to deal with. But, you know, you live and you...
Live and learn?
Not really live and learn, but, you know, you develop those calluses in life and, you know, you kind of use them. They protect you from, you know, what you got to deal with in the future. You go through shit in life and it, you know, it kind of makes you, yeah, either makes you or it breaks you. In terms of religion, I mean, religion never really...
Yes,
I hear a fly and I know I'm not Mike Pence, so I'm a little worried. Oh, right. There he is. One away. Ah, oh, damn it.
Fuck.
Missed him.
I think you might have gotten it.
You got the spotted lantern fly. If anyone's around Philadelphia, you'll get that. But you missed the fly. All right. I mean, in terms of religion, religion was never really a part of my upbringing. I mean, not only did, you know, was my home life kind of shit. I mean, the thing is, I went to a rather large Catholic grade school and then an extremely large Catholic high school, which we'll get to later. It was cookie cutter. You know, it was kind of like you memorize and you regurgitate. Your own personal faith never really came up. I mean, there's just too many students, you know. I mean, even when you went through First Communion, Confirmation, it was just like you memorize all this stuff, you take a test, you go to the ceremony, and that's it. There's just so many people there. There was never like anything one-on-one. So, you know, I just kind of went for it. I mean, you know, I kind of always had the mentality of like, all right, my childhood is shit. So if there's a God, doesn't really care about me particularly too much. Mm-hmm. So
you didn't have a personal relationship with God?
No. If I did, it was more like, fuck you, asshole. You could have stuck me into a better life than this one.
Yeah, where you been? No, like, seriously, like, where you been, dude? Like,
yeah,
come on,
yeah, exactly.
This
like,
is
when,
the
you
plate
know,
you're serving me? Like,
yeah, I mean, when you go through that, yeah, that quote-unquote, like, you know, American dream family, like, you know, the husband, the wife, the 2.5 kids living out in the suburbs or whatever, and it's like, oh, yeah, everything's, like, my life is pretty damn, you know, good or normal or whatever, and you think, okay, yeah, there's a God, and I've been blessed with all this stuff, but your childhood or your life goes to shit, and it's like, yeah, I can't seem to get ahead, like, you know, I got something or other. Like, where the hell are you? And why aren't you throwing a few miracles my way?
Absolutely. And especially when your Catholic school educators spend most of, you know, your years, your childhood years and your education telling you that Jesus will take care of and look after the children first. And then you're looking around at your own environment that you go home to every day. You know, the hypocrisy clicks. It's really not, it's a horrible thing for kids who grow up in those situations to have to go through.
Yeah. So normally when we do these getting to know you segments, we usually ask the people, you know, what was your aha moment or the moment the light bulb went off? So for you, Al, what was your aha moment or the moment the light bulb went out to say, hey, this is bullshit?
I can't really say that there was an exact moment for me. I would honestly have to say, like, it was just a general decline in belief over the years. I mean, it was kind of like, start out in grade school, I'm like, yeah, whatever, they're saying it. It doesn't seem to apply to me, or I can't find any, you know, meaning in this. Then obviously as I got older, I start questioning things like, okay, the things in the Bible that don't make sense. And it's like, well, you're just supposed to write it off as faith. It's the word of God, but it's got like cows chew their cud. It's like, oh, well, you just have to have faith. It's like, well, no, you don't. You know, just, you don't. You know, a lot of this stuff doesn't make sense and just made a lot less sense as I got older. For a while, I never really said, like, I'm an atheist. I just never really discussed religion. You know, I always, you know, did the family stuff. I went through the motions at church. You know, I always like to say, you know, I don't celebrate Christmas as the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I, you know, celebrate the commercialized version of it with, you know, Santa and Rudolph and all the toys and the gifts and all that fun little stuff. I mean, for a while, you know, I consider myself, and I still kind of do consider myself an agnostic atheist, just in the sense that, like, you know, I'm not going to go around screaming, there is no God. There absolutely is no God. I mean, I'm not going to say there is no anything, because, you know, I think it's a little ignorant and arrogant, being, you know, humans with the knowledge that we do, to say, you know, definitively, you know, we don't know. I mean, I've told people, like, you know, hey, we could all be living in the Matrix. This could be all someone else's dream. You know, find whatever philosophical analogy you want as to what our life could be compared to. But I mean, I basically consider myself an atheist. I don't believe that, you know, the Judeo-Christian God or any of the God that any of the major religions believe in exists, primarily for the fact of, you know, most of the major religions say, if you don't believe what we believe and worship the way we do, then you're going to burn in hell and suffer for all eternity. So that's why I'm like, that's just nonsense. You know, I don't want to believe that there's some big omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. I don't know what there is, but, you know, it generally identifies just as an atheist, because I'm like, I just don't believe in the God that everyone else does.
Now, when you initially embraced atheism, did you seek community or any type of fellowship amongst other atheists or reach out at all?
I mean, I didn't at first, just because it's like religion and God and anything didn't have any place in my life. So the lack thereof didn't have any place in my life either. I had gone to like a couple of meetup events for atheists in Philadelphia. And I think like the first one that was there, like one woman showed up. And the next one, I think like three people showed up, and we didn't really have an in-depth conversation about it. You know, we just kind of, you know, we brought up some of the topics, some of the things that were going on, like in relation to atheism and things that are going on in the world. But I never really felt like a close-knit community out of it. And that's the one thing I love about, you know, Satanists and specifically the, you know, Satanic Study Hall and the friends I've made here. I was like, we can actually discuss this stuff. And it's actually a very, you know, becoming a very close-knit community that I can, you know, relate to. And
it's kind of scary, isn't it?
It's a little bit scary. So before your exposure to Satanism, what was your perception of it as being an atheist?
Satanism?
Yes.
I didn't really have much. I didn't really research it. I mean, I was kind of under the impression that all Satanists worship Satan, you know, whether for quote unquote evil reasons or for whatever they believed in. And also, like, I didn't see them as quote unquote my type of people. I don't have any tattoos. I don't, you know, I'm not big into like a lot of like the heavy metal, the, you know, a lot of the, I just, it wasn't really my scene. So I couldn't really see myself relating to,
John,
you know.
John, he's talking shit on you.
Yeah, he's like, what the hell? I'm like, but you know, I mean, that's
shit. There's going to be another fight soon.
That's but right. That's the thing about, you know, about the.
Shut up, Belial.
That's the thing about, you know, the Satanists that kind of, I wouldn't say necessarily members, but, you know, fall under the umbrella of those who, you know, conform, believe what the Satanic Temple is preaching, is that, you know, you can be yourself. The funny side note is, you know, from Hail Satan, you had the, I forget his name, but the Southern guy with the bow tie.
Everybody fucking refers to that guy.
I forget. You know? But it's like, I'm thinking of myself as like this group's version of that guy. I'm like, I'm the last person who you see at the events who would fit into the, like, the Satanic mold.
Yes,
and that was why the thing, I mean, you see all the images of everyone wearing
beautiful
black and everything like that.
I agree.
Like, you know,
I agree. And I think that is a beautiful thing.
When I saw these, you know, Satanic, you know, things online, I'm like, they're not going to accept me. They're not going to like me. And then I saw Hail Satan, which I'll get to, you know, in a minute. And I'm like, yeah, I think I can really relate to these people. And then when I found out, you know, there were some Satanists getting together in Delaware County here in Pennsylvania, I'm like, I want to see what this is like and see if they're, you know, what they're like on the in the movie. And as I joked to one of them, I said, you know, I kind of left early and I said, yeah, I just want to come by, check it out. I figured, you know, if you start sacrificing little furry animals, I was going to get the hell out of here. But, you know, I generally had a good time. I mean, you know.
There was a baby at the first bonfire, but it made it out safely.
Fuck, I missed it.
So
stupid wrestling.
How do you define yes. made Sorry, it out Johnny. Safely? Is that like a code word? I should never
no, mind. No,
I must have been in a safely. Different part of the yard for this.
No,
I don't
know. That was I'm talking about the first one.
Oh.
Yeah, the first one, there was somehow, some way, a newborn baby ended up here.
Oh boy.
at the bonfire. Anyways, now, Al, you've talked about, I think on the last episode you mentioned it once, and maybe once here today as well, how Hail Satan was kind of your initial exposure to Satanic Temple, and kind of not Satanism, but the Satanic Temple's version of Satanism in general, right?
Yeah.
Many of our guests and listeners, you know, mentioned that, and I know, I think Allie and Charmaine and Johnny, and even myself, where it kind of sealed the deal as far as I'm in.
Yep.
Like, this is for me. I want more.
Totally. Now,
was that the same for you, or were you kind of left, you know, you seem like a very, you know, inquisitive person. Were you left just wanting more? How did that work for you?
I mean, I have always dabbled in, you know, at least enjoyed experiencing those things which are considered, you know, risque or salacious by society. I was, you know, in a prior life, you could say I was kind of a sex adult entertainment journalist. I covered a lot in, you know, in the sex adult entertainment industry. And, you know, one thing I always tried to do is, you know, kind of beat down those preconceptions. Like they say, like, sex work is work. Sex workers should have equal rights as other workers. They should be treated with dignity and respect. What I took out of it, and this is the reason that, you know, I joined this group, and, you know, hopefully we'll get involved with, you know, more in with, you know, like the larger Satanic Temple organization, is that I liked what their mission is. Maybe not everything that they do, but their overall mission, the separation of church and state, bodily autonomy. You know, anything that has to do with just allowing people to be themselves, to live their lives as they feel best. I mean, that's what I stand for, and that's what I've always believed in. I went in on this. I want to check it out, and that's why I'm a VIP patron. Please join. It's awesome. We will all love you.
Thank you, Al.
But, you know, I mean, Bill can tell you, like, you know, I mean, the third thing I did when I got here, or the first thing I said to him was like, hey, what's your Patreon site? And I signed up. It's like, it's only $20 a month. I didn't follow for the content. I followed it because I wanted to support this organization. And
this
that's
how it went.
That's the thing. You don't need to listen. Sorry. You don't need to, like, you know, follow every podcast or anything. It's just, if you do anything, just make a donation. Just, even if it's $3.33 a month, that little bit will help. So.
And my interaction with Al was, hi, my name's Al. Thank you for having me. What's your Patreon address? I can't find you. Boom. Done.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was awesome. So, a lot, we've talked about a lot, like that's a lot to take in, and I'm sure there's a lot more, but who is Al today? So you've been on kind of a journey recently with the evolution and your introduction to Satanism through the temple, the documentary. So who is Al today? What are some things you are proud of, passionate about? What makes you tick?
I mean, the little stuff first, sci-fi fan, you know, like I'm a small business owner. So things are tough right now. Got to give a, you know, shout out to everyone out there in the live events industry and everyone who's suffering. You know, heart goes out to you. Hang strong. We'll be back to doing events soon. As of what I'm passionate about, sex. Now, I kind of alluded to that earlier. You know, exactly. Not that.
What are you trying to say?
I'm not that kinky. Leave the little farm animals alone.
Those are those other Satanists.
All right.
Right? No, I'm kidding.
Anyway, you know, I'm serious about sex in more ways than one. But, you know, for me, I've always been sex worker rights, gender equality, you know, sexual health. You know, we would have a hell of a lot less abortions to worry about if we taught kids more about birth control instead of abstinence in school. You know, kids are going to do what they're going to do it safely rather than have to worry about, you know, finding an abortion and dealing with all of that.
Definitely.
Stumbling down the path to a fake abortion clinic with a satanic billboard.
Exactly. Yes. Definitely. What's next? What's next? What's next? Johnny, what's next?
Next is the Ghost Review.
And we're going to review the album Ghost Hippopotamus. That's what it was. Yes. I'm fucking excited. It's time for Ghost.
Yeah!
Guess what? The fun is over. Now we're going to get to the downright evil stuff. We're going to take a look at some of these satanic songs.
Hail Satan.
Yes, and what do we say, Bill?
Hail Satan, indeed. All right, before we get into this, guys, I know this is kind of a last minute thing, but I didn't fucking listen to Opus Hippopotamus.
Thank God you said it first.
Why?
I didn't fucking listen to it either.
Thank fucking Satan, neither did I.
What? What?
We went into recording a music review.
None of you did. I honestly, I am fucking ashamed of... Okay, I didn't listen to it either.
I was going to say, Al's debut, he outshamed us all and right, listened to...
So here it is. So what more can be said about Opus Hippo... Whatever. Ghost. Fuck them.
I guess so.
You know what? I got an idea.
What?
Fuck this shit. Let's do some Hailstorm.
All right. Woo!
Why Hailstorm?
Hailstorm is my favorite band ever.
Oh, this is fantastic. I didn't want to talk about them anyway. So, you know what? Let's talk about Hailstorm. Okay. Take it away, Al.
Take it away, Al.
All right. Well, today we are going to be reviewing Hailstorm's self-titled debut album, which was released back in 2009. It was their first studio album with Atlantic Records. I've been following them for what seems like forever. My favorite band of all times. Following them since around 2005. I'm going to start by telling you a little bit about the band, a little bit about background of them. They actually were going on about 20 years before I met them. And yeah, they really were. You know, considering how young they still are, I think they're around probably in like their, you know, early to mid 30s right now. Hailstorm comes, well, they hail, no pun intended.
Hailstorm
hails from Red Lion, PA, which is outside of York.
Wow. Whoa, that's awesome.
So they are definitely local. Hailstorm is comprised of lead vocalist and guitarist Lizzie Hale, her brother, the drummer and percussionist RJ Hale, guitarist Joe Hodinger, and bassist Josh Smith. So RJ and Lizzie have been actively writing and performing original music since 1997 when they were 10 and 13 years old respectively.
Wow.
So I think they come from a family of, you know, musicians. I know their father Roger was you know, a member of their band back when, you know, when they were really young. They did release an EP titled Don't Mess with the Time Man in 1999. Definitely, if you're going to listen to it, if you love Hailstorm, I'm going to warn you, it sounds drastically different than what they put out now.
I like the title of it.
Yeah, it's actually, you know, there's some pretty catchy, you know, tunes, but they're definitely different in feel from what they are doing now. So, like I said, in their early days, you know, their father played bass for them. As for the rest of the core of the band, in 2003, Joe Hodinger joined the band, and Josh Smith joined in 2004. The one thing that they're well known for is their near nonstop touring. They've done as many as 250 shows a year. I mean, they are extremely popular. Some of the bands that they have toured with, I'm just going to name a few of them here, are some of the biggest names in rock. You got Alice Cooper, Seether, Stained, In This Moment, Disturbed, Shinedown, Evanescence, Godsmack, and so many more.
That's a pretty fucking good resume.
That is crazy.
And that's just half of the big, those are just the biggest of the big names that I have found. I mean, they are monsters when it comes to touring. As for my personal history, I have a little bit of an interesting experience with them. I discovered them actually around like 2005, and this location's gone now. It's actually turned into like a children's museum down in the Wilmington, Delaware riverfront. It was this place called Kahunaville. It was this kind of like, you know, it was like almost kind of like a watered down Dave and Buster's. Like they got games, bars, they had a small stage. And I remember there's this opening act, which I don't even remember who the heck they were, but then Hailstorm came on, and there's probably like six or seven of us watching them. And it blows my mind even now, because now they're like, you know, filling stadiums and they won a Grammy. And so, you know, I'm sitting there, I'm like, this is the greatest thing I have ever heard in my life. And how I was introduced to Hailstorm was, you know, was the song It's Not You. If you want to listen to it live on their One and Done EP, it's actually how I heard it. And, you know, I was just in love with every one of their songs.
I think it was like the next weekend or so, maybe. They said that they were going to record their live EP One and Done at the Grape Street Pub, I think it was called, in the Manayunk section of Philadelphia. It was 2 days. It was like a Friday night and a Saturday afternoon. Ironically, they wore the same clothing both days, which is a little weird because they were recording a music video out of it. So they obviously had to maintain consistency.
And that is the album we're listening to right now.
What's that?
I said that's the album we're listening to right now.
Yeah, exactly. And I think I hear myself scream. I forget which song. I didn't have time to listen to the whole thing, but I hear myself scream like at one of the quiet parts during the songs, just because it was all live and stuff. But so I just started following them. I've seen them numerous times around that, or you know, that early part, you know, right after they got signed back in 2005 to around 2007. Wanted to give a shout out to some of the great music venues I've seen them at. The Chameleon Club in Lancaster, which sadly is recently announced its closing. The White Rose in York, Pennsylvania. Saw them at the Electric Factory and the Rendezvous, which was this little hole-in-the-wall place in Perryville, Maryland. It's closed as well. Closed a few years ago. I love this little joint. Just definitely a great place to watch a rock and roll band. You know, as for the band themselves, they're just... I know it's going to sound silly, but they're just the nicest damn people you could ever meet in your life. I mean, I don't really follow a lot of, you know, rock bands, but I mean, they, when they say they care about their fans and they love their fans, they truly fucking mean it. I mean, like, yeah, they started getting to know me when I came to shows. Like, I'd give them hugs and stuff. They'd be really super, you know, engaging. When, yeah, and you don't need to do that. I mean, obviously, if you're a small band, you want to engage with your fans, but they went above and beyond. You know, so I just got to say, you know, Lizzie, RJ, Joe, Josh, congratulations. You know, you've gone from, you know, 8 fans at a shitty venue in Wilmington to, like, you know, winning Grammys, well, 1 Grammy, but winning a Grammy and, you know, packing stadiums. So, you know, you're the hardest working band out there that I know, and you deserve all the success that has come to you. And, you know,
Yes, sir.
Yeah, you speak for all of your fans when I say, you know, we look forward to great things from you for years to come.
I think that's awesome. Great that they're still the original lineup after all these years.
Yeah. It's like 2 kids out of York, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And their parents, like Elizabeth, you know, Elizabeth and Roger. Yeah, obviously Lizzie, named for Elizabeth. And I have this feeling that, you know, RJ is Roger Jr. for their dad. But yeah, I mean, they were huge. I mean, they were attending a lot of their shows. They're acting as like their, you know, their roadies at these live events. And I mean, you know, I mean, having that love and support from your parents who are into music from such a young age, I mean, yeah, you know, that's huge. I mean, you know, you're not having your parents yell at you to keep the racket down. You've got a, you know, family of people actually encourage you to, you know, to go out there and have a dream, and they fucking made it.
It's awesome.
Yeah. So let's get to the album. All right. So, Hailstorm, name of the album, obviously, debuted back in 2009, peaked at number 40 on the Billboard 200. First single off the album, I Get Off, received considerable playtime, managed to reach number 17 on Billboard's rock list. Band celebrated their 10th anniversary of the album by releasing a 10th anniversary vinyl edition featuring, quote, all new artwork as well as pre-production demos and bonus material. Gonna go fly through the track list, and this is the version with the bonus tracks, which I'll mention at the end. Tracks in order, It's Not You, like I said, this is actually, I had heard this on their One and Done. They definitely redid it. I like the version on One and Done a lot better, but you know, it's still good. I Get Off, like I said, that was their
hit. Played that on the radio a lot.
Yeah, they played that on the radio. Bet You Wish You Had Me Back, Innocence, Familiar Taste of Poison, great I'm title. Not an Angel, What Were You Expecting, Love, Hate, Heartbreak, Better Safe Than Sorry, Dirty Work, which I believe I heard is referred to as a song about going down on a girl. Listen to it. You know, take it away from me, what?
Yeah.
And Nothing I to Do With Love.
I wouldn't call it Dirty Work, though.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't either. Good point.
Yeah.
And finally, the bonus tracks, Tell Me Where It Hurts, Conversation's Over, and Dirty Mind. And I would have to say my top 4 from the album would definitely be It's Not You, I Get Off, Innocence, and Familiar Taste of Poison. And one thing I did want to mention about this band, and you'll listen to it through all their music, they are so, you know, girl power, women positive, you know, take charge, kick ass as a woman, that I, you know, I've got a ton of respect for that, for them for that. So... So that's it. Hailstorm. Check it out. Guarantee you'll love it. And
Hail Hailstorm.
That's a great title. I love that. Familiar Taste of Poison.
They got some really good sounding tracks on there, and I may give them another chance. I wasn't sure. MMR, MMR 93.3 here in Philadelphia, they played the shit out of them.
Yeah.
I think it started just like a couple years ago, the real big push. And, you know, I definitely, there were a couple tracks. Well,
I think
for
they
sure.
did their annual MMRBQ.
Yeah, the MMRBQ and a couple, maybe even a couple local shows, whether it was Electric Factory or back in the
that place closed too.
Yeah, back in the day when we had live shows, you know.
MMR loved them because they were a local band, and they kind of I think they somehow helped them at least get off the ground a little bit, at least locally. But yeah, they love them.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for saving our ass.
Thank you. Thank you. We didn't do our homework.
Yeah.
Or I didn't do mine.
That was a treat. That was a surprise.
And I had all that memorized, too. Thank God, just for this occasion.
Yes.
Veronica has some competition for the valedictorian title, apparently.
I have some competition for my job.
Oh, my.
I think someone's got a competition.
He and Johnny are both going to get fired tonight.
Yes, I think someone's got competition to go up next to Dennis on the rack in the basement for not doing their homework.
Yeah, Bill.
That's right. That's all of us.
Fuck that.
Sorry, Ghost and Opus Hippopotamus.
I'm not.
Maybe someday I will listen to Opus Hippopotamus.
Hungry, hungry hippopotamus.
Hail Satan!
All right, Hailstorm was pretty fucking awesome.
Yes, it was.
I'm gonna have to give him another chance.
Yes, Hailstorm.
Hailstorm.
That was awesome. I think I have to. I have a competing person for my job now. Whoa! What's that? Fire drill?
Shit. I think so.
Who's been smoking pot in the bathroom?
No, all right, let's get out of here.
Yeah. Dennis isn't here, so it wasn't him. Unless he's in the basement.
Is someone gonna untie him?
I hope so.
Yeah, I gotta put our headphones down.
Let's go. Let's go.
6 feet apart. 6 feet apart.
Ohio, come on. You gotta go.
Oh, fuck fire drills, man. That took forever.
Yeah, it did. It was cold outside.
Where's Johnny? He was behind me in the hallway. All right, Al, you mentioned some interesting things that happened while you were in high school, specifically Catholic school. Do you care to elaborate? I think you might have a story for us.
Yeah, I've got a story. It's not really that fun of a story. It's actually rather depressing. And little trigger warning for anyone out there who's been victim of sexual assault. Just going to make a few references to things or have been molested in any way. Our thoughts go out to you. We're all here for you if you need anything. If you need help or need someone to talk to, always find someone. So a little bit of backstory. I attended Archbishop Ryan High School in Philadelphia from 93 to 97 and found out about this story years after I graduated. The TLDR version, kind of the subject line, so to speak, is the president of Archbishop Ryan High School, where I went. He had stolen money to the tune of around $900,000 to buy the silence of some of the students he molested.
Holy shit!
It's a crazy lengthy story. It's going to be a while. I apologize, but there's just so much detail. You can actually find, I think there was a Philly Magazine article, it was about 9 pages long that detailed all of this. We're going to focus on one known case, and is out of a student, Arthur Basilis III. I apologize if I butchered the last name there. Before we get started, just a little disclaimer. A lot of what I'm about to tell you, I actually found out years after I graduated by following news websites and articles that I had read. There, for those around the Philadelphia area, they'll know Philly Magazine, the Philadelphia Inquirer, NBC 10 in Philadelphia. So I got a lot of this. I never heard about any of this firsthand. I had just heard a little bit about what happened and then kind of heard other things down the line. So just to give you a little background, Archbishop Ryan is a massive, I think it's the largest Catholic high school in Philadelphia with around 1,300 to 1,400 students a year. And the entire time I was there, Father Charles Newman, he was known as Father Charles, which is how I refer to him. He was a teacher and a principal while I was there. He was an advisor for the school theater group and the chorus. He actually became president of Ryan High School in 2002, and due to all this, was fired around 15 months later. The individual we're going to be talking about today, Arthur Bessley's the third, he actually started in 92, and I didn't even realize until, I really learned a lot in the last couple of days, kind of, just doing a lot of the deep dive research on this. He was actually in school at the same time as I was. He was actually a year younger than me.
Wow.
Yeah. So how it goes from what I researched, Father Charles had taken a rather inappropriate interest in Arthur. He had molested the student. I mean, the details are just truly disgusting and disturbing. I'm not going to go anything in detail. You can look it up on your own if you want, but I mean, it involved oral sex, masturbation, urination, foot fetishes, and even another priest known as Brother Regis joined in on this as well. And that's all I'm going to say about the actual detail. It's pretty horrific and disgusting. Well, while this has been going on, Father Charles had started, giving him a couple $100, fixing his grades to kind of, start to buy his silence. Then the drugs followed, with the priest bribes escalating from booze to pot, cocaine, and oxy. As typical with manipulation like this, the student really didn't say anything, because Father Charles said if Basilis ever spoke to up, that the priest would kill himself. Father Charles threatened to kill himself, allegedly. I should be saying allegedly for all of this, but I'm just, I'm getting it all from these sources.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, this is
unreal.
This is, it gets even, I don't want to say crazier, because it kind of makes light of it. From the period around July of 2002 to November of 2003, Father Charles had stolen around $900,000. You have to remember, this is about the time where he became the president of the school. I don't know if that had the ability to get in on his finances or whatever happened. Yeah, I've got a couple of stories that I kind of heard about secondhand. I'll just, put that disclosure out there. The first is that I actually learned about all this when, I guess, a former student, I forget who it was. I mean, this has been years since this all happened, reached out and said, oh, did you hear about Father Charles? And all this stuff about him getting, molesting a kid and stealing his money. And I had no idea. I had heard at some point that, there was just weird shit going on. Like, he had, the school apparently had like a beautiful piano that Father Charles just decided to mysteriously sell and, buy a half-ass piano, apparently to obviously pocket the difference for whatever sick, disgusting stuff he was doing. The other thing is, I had heard, I guess, sometime after I graduated, that Father Charles had been attacked. And this is a really oddball story. Because what happened was, he was apparently walking around, because the friary was right next to the school. So I guess a couple of students or a couple of kids, whatever, had attacked him, beat him up, pretty badly and whatever. And I remember at the time thinking to myself, like, okay, well, Father Charles said, oh, I'm not going to press charges or anything. And I thought, well, typical what everyone would first assume, like, oh, fuck these piece of shit kids for doing right. this to Father Charles. And, I think I had heard or something later, or it kind of clicked to me later on, like, okay, I think, if the kids beat him up because they heard about what he was doing to this kid, Arthur Basilis, and I guess they threatened him or something, like, oh, well, if you tell anyone who did it, we'll tell on you. It seemed really odd. He wasn't going to press charges against the kids that beat him up, but now it makes complete and total sense, because obviously someone knew something. So.
No, absolutely. And with that pause, we are going to take a quick bathroom break, and we will be right back.
Hello there. Do you have moments doubting your self-worth? Do you feel isolated and often rejected? Didn't get that promotion or better paying job? Or do you just need an ear to bend? Then Satanic Study Hall proudly brings to you Johnny Voorhees, Life Coach.
Wait. What?
That's right. Satanic Study Hall's own Johnny Voorhees will answer your questions and give you the advice that you need.
I didn't agree to this. I mean,
this is what you get for not reviewing Ghost, motherfucker. Now do it or feel the wrath of my vengeance.
All right. I'll do it. I'm gonna be such a dick about it, fuckhead.
What was that?
I said, lucky me.
Read the letters already.
God damn, you people don't fuck around. I mean, you already have letters? All right. Let's see what we got here. Dear Johnny Voorhees, I feel like my wife is cheating on me and spending nights as a prostitute. What should I do? How am I supposed to answer this? I don't know. Try to be your pimp? Gee. Alright. Next. Dear Johnny Voorhees, no matter how hard I try and what I do, I always feel like I'm getting ignored. Next. Dear Johnny Voorhees, I have an itching and burning sensation coming from my nether region. I have included pictures. Ugh, Jesus.
That's Johnny Voorhees, life coach. I mean, coming soon to Satanic Study Hall.
All right, and welcome back. And Al, floor is all yours.
All right, thanks, Bill. And, you know, to continue the story, I'll just start off by saying, you know, this story is just a depressing downward spiral. So after everything I kind of set up, Arthur had suffered some personality changes and his grades dropped because of all of this. He got his girlfriend pregnant during his junior year. Upon finding this out, like, his parents threw him out and withdrew him from Ryan. And he went to live, I think, at his girlfriend's parents' place. But here's the thing, like, Vasilis was told by Father Charles he would personally cover his tuition so that he would keep going to Ryan. Which was odd. And I guess when his parents found out they, you know, that was being covered and whatever, because they, you know, welcomed him back home just because he seemed to be, you know, under Father Charles's care.
Wow.
Or whatever. This story doesn't even end with his graduation in 96. Father Charles continued to fuel his drug addiction. It got to the point where, you know, he not only funded it, which went from, you know, casual drug use to cocaine and then pills and then to heroin, but, you know, Father Charles literally drove Arthur to bars to get drugs. He continued to suffer years of psychological problems. He broke up with the, you know, with his girlfriend, the mother of his child. He wandered from one job to the next. Father Charles continued to give him odd jobs around the school or the friary every time he heard he needed work or something. So his parents finally learned the truth. They took him to the archdiocesan counselors. Their response was, since Father Charles wasn't a diocesan priest, they reasoned he wasn't the archdiocese's responsibility. The next step was going to the friars themselves, Franciscans, I should say. So at the Basilisk kitchen table a few days later, Arthur and his father met with three Franciscans, including Father Thomas Lushak, if I'm pronouncing that right, the regional head of their Franciscan order. And the Franciscans agreed to send Arthur to rehab, hearing what happened. But less than a week into his stay, Arthur received a $50,000 offer from Lugzak in exchange for a waiver of his right to sue. And the father didn't sign.
Holy shit. That is a whole lot.
Yeah. Like, again, wow. You know, I won't get into it at this point, but, you know, yeah, church trying to, you know, to buy him off and bury this. So at one point, I remember.
And this is in the 90s. Like, this is at the height or one of the heights of the satanic panic. Just to point that out.
Yeah. Now, you know, I mean,
this is really happening.
Sorry. I had one quote from Arthur here that, you know, he had mentioned to his dad. He said, you know, Dad, I think Newman wanted me dead. I think he was trying to get rid of me, which isn't outside of the realm of possibility because, you know, Arthur has all these secrets on him, so to speak. Now, here's where, you know, I'm telling you that the story just spirals downward in terms of how bad it gets. The criminal statute of limitation had expired for sex abuse. So they couldn't even go after him for molesting the kid. I don't know the law. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know, you know, the timetable on, you know, what the statute of limitations is. I'm just telling you what I read. They went to civil court. I don't really know the outcome of that, but in the end, you know, Arthur Vasilis, he died of a drug overdose at age 28 in a drug-infested part of Camden.
Fuck.
Yeah. So apparently he had just talked about suicide or attempted it before. That's what I believe I read. So it wasn't like he just flat-out drug overdose. I mean, you know, this kid, for lack of a better word, was traumatized, messed up, or whatever you want to say. And, you know, he was so traumatized and so victimized by this that it's not outside the realm of possibility. They had found out, obviously, that he had stolen all this money. There was an audit done. They discovered, you know, possible theft of
funds. So the Archdiocese started investigation in 2003. That's when Father Charles was terminated. In 2007, a grand jury had indicted him with six counts of felony theft and one count of felony forgery. Pled guilty in March 2009, denied parole twice, and finally was released in 2013. He was sent to a halfway house, then a pedophile treatment center in Indiana. He wound up finally, I guess, where he may be now, in Wisconsin with his Franciscan order. Now, as I said, it's just, you think it can't get any more messed up. And then the bottom just falls out underneath you. He was actually allowed to remain in the order conditionally.
What the fuck?
Yeah, he was allowed based upon the fact that the conditions were he couldn't exercise priestly ministry. He was not allowed to celebrate mass publicly or minister the sacraments. He couldn't wear clerical garb or present himself publicly as a priest. It still sounds like, I mean, Wisconsin's hell far from Philadelphia. Not everyone in Wisconsin is going to, I mean, the questions still remain. Like, is he going to be in the presence of children? Is he going to be, anywhere, where he can hurt children or other people? The fallout of this for that family, I mean, every article is with Arthur's father, who, I mean, to say his life has just been completely destroyed by this has been, just emotionally has just been an understatement. I mean, I took one quote from one of the articles saying, where he says, and I quote, "How do they heal me? What is the remedy for me and my family? Don't tell me to pray." And that was kind of what he was directing at the Catholic Church. His faith is just, I don't want to speak on his behalf, but his faith has seemingly just been destroyed. I mean, his faith in the church and, I don't know how far, in terms of God or whatever, their family has been utterly destroyed. And, everyone seems so shocked when I just basically tell them the whole, the background of, oh, he was a principal in my high school, president, whatever. He stole a whole bunch of money and molested a kid. This shit happens all the time. The only reason that this is so shocking is that it was the principal of a high school and $900,000 was stolen.
And he got caught.
Other than that, like, this same shit happens all the fucking time.
All over the world.
This is why you've got, parochial schools closing because of all the money that needs to be pumped out due to all these lawsuits. Like, this is what happens. It's the fact, it's like someone famous, you find out about someone famous, this happening, this, being a child molester, a pedophile, or like the, what was his name? The one recently. The one
Epstein.
Who Epstein. Yeah, thank you. It's like you hear about Jeffrey the Epsteins. Like, Jeffrey Epstein. Sorry, thank you. You hear about this shit. You're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. It's like, yeah, but like, this happens all the time. It's like, it's the principal of a high school, but it's also like the thousands of priests that have done this throughout the years. This is how bad the problem is. It's not just the famous people, which should make us, gasp and act shocked.
100%.
Yeah.
I completely agree with all of that. And it's terrifying. It hits close to home. My Catholic education ended around the eighth grade. My classmates, the ones that went on to Catholic high schools, they went to Ryan. And we didn't hear anything about this when those of us that were choosing to pursue a higher Catholic education at the time, we knew nothing about this story. I knew nothing about this story until you came on and divulged everything. Like my classmates went to this school and nobody, there was no information given. There's just a bunch of teachers and parents in our faces going, oh, you can't go to public school. You can't go to public school. You got to choose, do you want to go to Philly? Do you want to go somewhere else? Like, where do you want to go? But you have to go somewhere. And this story, it took until now, well beyond then to get the terrible details of what went on here.
The scary part about all this too is it's more or less become common practice in the Catholic Church, the more and more you read about it.
100%.
And then just like you mentioned, you tied it into the time frame of the Satanic Panic. And, no wonder the Catholic Church and, the Christian, institution in general was putting so much funding and spotlight on Satanism and occult activity.
Exactly.
And all of this.
Exactly.
In the
80s and 90s, are you distracting from here?
As this was all happening behind the scenes and real lives were being fucking ruined and real fucking demons. We're at play and just fucking ruining people's lives. That poor guy.
And you got to ask, Al, what do you think? But do you think that as much would have been divulged if, so much money hadn't been involved? Because a way to hit these people is hit them in the pocket.
I
and this
so
is $900,000 out of one school.
Attention staff and students. This is your principal with your daily update. The Satanic Study Hall podcast is not affiliated with any other podcast or organization. None. Zero. The views and opinions expressed on the podcast are ours and ours alone. Lunch Lady Lilith cooked up a hellstorm for today's lunch, literally. She burned the kitchen to the ground, ham and cheese sandwiches in the auditorium. Yearbook photos start on Monday at 9 a.m. in the auditorium. We had to beg the photographer to come back after last year's fiasco, so don't fuck around. And don't forget to smile. Charmaine, no matter how many times you submit the application, we will not be changing the school mascot to the bean. And that's all for today's announcements. Hail Satan.
You know, honestly, I have no idea. I'm sure it would have hit the news. I mean, statute of limitations expired. I'm not sure how, you know, what the family's thoughts were of, you know, broadcasting this. I mean, you know, from what I heard that Arthur's father, you know, was, you know, protesting every like week outside of like I think it was like every Tuesday or something outside of, you know, like down at the Archdiocese for, you know, all the kids that have been molested. You know,
and, that's
and,
encouraging,
you know,
to hear.
Right. I mean,
that's at least, you know, right. Sad, but one positive right. Point.
I mean, I don't know if it would have gotten as big. I mean, the fact that he was a principal of a major, you know, high school in a major metropolitan area, the molestation, I mean, like I said, it's just one story of many. It's just the fact of, you know, yeah, it was just hyped because of the money was stolen, the fact that he was a principal, and the fact that he was a Franciscan priest or a Franciscan. That's it. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to play hypothetical as to, you know, what how big the story would have gotten. I mean, it's just, you know, it's like, think of the victim here. You know, yeah. I mean, that's it. And like, you know, for everyone, Arthur Basilis, there's tens of thousands of kids who have gone through the same or worse, and they just don't make the news.
It's terrible. And so many Catholic educators, so many Catholic parents, I mean, they were involved in this. Shut up. Don't say anything. Even when their kid did come out, when their kid did come out, you know, that we don't believe you. It.
You know, you got a young, you know, I mean, I apparently Arthur was good in school and everything. I mean, I don't know his grades and everything. Take, you know, a juvenile delinquent. I'm just going to throw out a hypothetical. Like, I use the term juvenile delinquent instead of, you know, describing everything, you know, like bad grades or getting in trouble or whatever. If, like, if a priest molests them, like, who's going to believe the kid? I mean, you know, maybe even their parents will doubt them and think that they're trying to make it up or make an excuse or something.
In most cases, they did.
Right, exactly. So your family may not believe you. You're too embarrassed or ashamed to say anything, or you're afraid you're going to get in trouble, quote unquote.
Well, thank you, Al. Yeah. That was, I don't even know what to say.
That was harrowing, but that I think heavy. It's something that, you know, people need to know.
And thank you for bringing that to light, especially on this platform. And it's full and of tons of examples of hypocrisies in the Catholic Church. Yeah. And
yeah, I was going to say, if I could just finish up by giving a little message to Father Charles, wherever he is. I don't want to speak on behalf of all of your students or the members of the community or the people who have their faith in you and in Catholic education. But from the bottom of my heart, I mean, sincerely,
fuck you.
Straight up, fuck that guy, just like you said. So we're going to dive into a couple more hypocrisies of the beloved Catholic Church. So I'm going to hand it back over to Al, who's going to highlight a few things that might make you snicker a little bit.
Just kind of want to go over a few thoughts, and please, if you want to jump in at any time, go right ahead. I mean, right. The first thing is the wealth of these different institutions, specifically, you know, like the Catholic Church, Vow of Poverty. I think it was the New Pope, which is a series that was out a little bit ago. Their second season actually tackled this about, you know, you've got these cardinals who live in these palatial, you know, mansions in the States. I think we had the cardinal's residence or the cardinal's mansion on Saline Avenue that was bought by St. Joseph's University a few years ago. But, you know, you have these cardinals, these bishops living in these palatial, you know, areas and having, you know, gold rings and gold chains and everything. You know, I mean, I personally believe every priest should be in a, you know, small room with a bed, a table, a chair, and a computer, you know.
Yeah,
but why would we live like that, Al, when we have all these tax exemptions, Al?
Exactly.
And gold everything. I
mean, the most disgusting thing of all is, you know, like these televangelists, like the Joel Osteen and these ones that the bakers and the Grahams and all these people. I highly encourage everyone, just for the comedic value, to watch The Righteous Gemstones, because it just makes a total and complete mockery of these televangelists who live in these. You're
not the first person to tell me about that. I gotta check that out.
You've got to check that out. It's fucking hilarious. But you know, you have they're living in these palatial mansions, and they have these private jets, and they're supposed to be doing the word of God. Their excuse, well, I need this to do my, or God wants me to have this. It's like, shut the fuck up. It's like, how many people, you know, could you get out of poverty? How much low income housing, or how much housing in general could you build? You know, how many meals could you give out with the amount of money you spend on this shit? You know, I mean, the best part, not to get too much into these televangelists, but I can't understand how people actually take them seriously.
Well, there's even, I don't mean to get too off topic, we don't have to spend too much time on it, but it was Jim Jones used to do it even, you know, like pretentious faith hailing, where he'd put somebody like staged in a wheelchair, and then he would be like, you know, by the grace of God and by the grace of me, you know, you will be able to walk now. And they would, and they'd run up and down and kind of like a fit of hysteria, like around the church.
Exactly.
And, it's theater. So.
Exactly. And it goes back to what I was saying. It's like, you know, it's not just the fact that this guy's doing it. What concerns me more of all is you've got a stadium full of people who are buying into this shit. And also, like, God's plan. And that rolls into it as well. Like, God has this plan for all of us. God knows what we are going to do with with our lives. And, you know, God has planned everything from our birth to our death. It's like, okay, well, first of all, if God has a plan and we're all part of that plan, then we truly have no control. We don't have free will. And prayer is irrelevant. I mean, I'd love to say to anyone who's praying for, like, you know, their sports team to win a game, it's like, dumbass, like, God allows childhood cancer as part of his plan. What do you think why the fuck do you think he cares about your sports team winning?
That is a great point. They haven't found a way to reconcile this idea of predestination that they've dragged along with them for centuries, and this constant pushing of free will. Well, people have free will, but... you're also backing predestination. I mean, it doesn't, you're right.
A prime example of why we're titling this episode, The Hypocrites.
Yeah. A lot of people say, you know, the United States of America is a Christian nation. You know, founded by God, the Christian God, blah, 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 whatever. And the other thing I want to bring up under that topic is, you know, it's the harassment of others that don't believe in, you know, who don't share your religious beliefs. And, you know, the whole thing about God's plan, which is a joke. I mean, it's the final answer that, you know, anyone who talks about, you know, you keep asking why. It's like, well, the final answer that anyone, you know, Christian will give you is like, because it's part of God's plan. It's like, okay, what's God's plan? We're not supposed to know. It's the mystery of faith. And, you know, it brings another critical.
But then on top of that, a lot of them claim to, you know, there's different sects of Christianity all over the country who, oh, there's a different, you know, doomsday. There's a different apocalypse day. Depending on which fundamental sect of it you're in, they all know when Revelation is coming. And it's just, it's way too hard to keep track of. So not only do you have God works in mysterious ways and we don't know what the ultimate plan is, but we know he has a plan. Then you have complete, like, psychopaths on the other end of it who know exactly what God's plan is are happy to tell you.
They told you it appeared to me in a dream, and everyone just nods their head because they've drank the Kool-Aid. I mean, number three on my list here is going back the rampant child molestation and pedophilia in the Catholic Church. In light of the satanic panic, you know, this is a joke. I mean, everyone loses their shit about, oh, please, like, you got these priests who are molesting kids. It's like, and yet, Satanists are the problem because, you know, oh, they're spreading the devil's message, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, you've got Catholic priests.
The shit like this gets my blood boiling.
Exactly. Same here. I talk a lot. It's it's getting even worse. I mean, you know, if you've listened to me that long, for this long, congratulations. And, you know, this goes back to why, you know, I've, you know, become a Satanist, and I believe in what the tenets and the beliefs and the Satanic Temple is, because, like, it makes sense. Like, the tenets are a moral guideline that I agree with. The one thing I want to take is away from this is, like, be critical thinkers, whether it's your faith or politics or whatever. Ask why and demand proof. And, you know, I mean, and everyone should have a right to question their faith and, you know, whatever faith you believe in, and be respected by everyone to do so.
And when you do ask those questions and somebody responds with
basically, why are you asking this? Or, you know, you shouldn't. It's sinful. It's this, it's that. They give you a reason. They give you an excuse. They give you a dead-end answer or something, you know, as flimsy as, oh, faith. Faith is the answer. And that's just one example of anything they could tell you. You know, don't be guilted into stopping asking your questions.
Yeah, don't pump the brakes at that point. Hit the gas.
Mm-hmm. Hit the gas.
Hit the gas.
Or, you know what? Get the fuck off the highway.
Yes. No, Belial's back. But where's Johnny? Al, thank you. That was awesome.
Thank you for having me, man.
This has been a fun journey. And we're not quite done yet. And as far as social media, the quickest way to find us is to hop on Facebook and look us up at Satanic Study Hall, just like our name. Goat Farm, you've heard us reference it on many, many episodes. Veronica and Al are active members in the farm. Thank you so much for that, both of you. I have a blast in the Goat Farm. It's the Goat Farm for me. I'm the meme guy. So every time I sign into Facebook, I keep my fingers crossed that I don't get zucked based on some of the fucked up shit that
I don't share think that'll happen it. In the Goat Farm, but everybody's really like supportive of each other. The memes are great. It's just it's a fun time. It, you know, brightens up my day.
and all sorts of things, you know, Satanism related are shared from all across the board. So many different avenues.
Yeah, lots of great information too, thanks to our special friend we have here with us tonight. Yes,
Al's really stepped up the game. We've got John Milton, Minaz, Darren, Dodge, Kat. There's so many people have stepped up and really fucking kept this thing alive and thriving. So thank you for that. And Belial, thanks you too. Instagram, find us at Satanic Study Hall. Same as Facebook. Twitter, we are at Satanic SH. Now that's at capital S, ATANIC, capital S, capital H. And Patreon is patreon.com/Satanic Study Hall. We always end with Patreon to segue into our patrons. So on Patreon, you can easily join the club for $3.33 a month. We also have a $6.66 a month tier and a $20 a month tier. If you haven't listened to us before, there are variations, obviously, of different membership benefits when you join Patreon. But all that information is available, once again, at patreon.com/Satanic Study Hall. So big shout out to all of our VIP patrons. We mention them in every episode. So our special friend, who we can now say is Al, is with us. So we will start with him. Al, thank you very much. And thank you. We have Minaz, the left. Minaz joins us as I think he was the second one outside of our next one, who Kat, who just upgraded her $6.66 membership to $20 a month.
Wow, thank you, Kat.
Kat, you were fucking awesome. Kat's been here since the very beginning, active in our Discord. I wish I had more time for Discord. And like we said in our last episode, if you went in on the Discord, just hit us up in any form of social media. We'll take a second and send you the invite, because they do expire.
And just remember one thing.
Yeah.
We use all your contributions to pay for goat food. And if some little goat gets hungry, some little goat gets bitey. Ankles. Thank you very much. So
that is true.
Think of your hosts.
That's right. Belial's an expensive, expensive baffinet.
He likes steak, like filet mignon. It's kind of, he's such a dick about that too.
He's the best little baffinet.
Yes. So, and then we also have Misty's Coventry, Sean, as always. Thank you so much. And if I'm forgetting anybody, I highly apologize. I don't believe I am. I think we've covered all the new patrons within the last few episodes. So thank you all for your contributions. It is humbling every day to look at the support that we're getting, not just from Patreon in a monetary standpoint, because that's just ridiculously awesome, but just the support, the follows, the shares, the likes, the subscribes, all that. It's fucking amazing.
Keep the memes coming.
Yes, we definitely need to keep the memes coming. All right, so we're going to wrap things up. And like we mentioned, Belial's roaming around here. He's been very vocal this episode. But Baphomets Unite. Anybody that's in the Baphomet family, and I'm saying Baphomet BAPHOKNIT. Baphonit. That is Belial the Baphonit and all of his brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and whoever else joins the family. Send your pictures of your Baphonit on social media, Twitter, any of the avenues that we just talked about. We want to see what the family's up to, and keep us posted. Quick shout out to all of our goaties in the goat farm. Like we said, you keep our social media game going. Love City Satanists, as always. Thank you for always being there and sharing our stuff and bouncing ideas off of us and whatnot. We appreciate the support. Right on over to TSTNYC, our friends in New York City. And the whole satanic fashion show thread. Have you been watching that and paying attention to that? Do you follow that?
I've been seeing it. That is awesome.
It's fucking amazing. The tattoos, the dress, the attire.
I have to take a look at that. How am I missing that?
Like, it is awesome.
It's like hashtag satanic fashion show or something like that. I forget what exactly it is.
Or you can
I was actually going to recommend we all. Awesome. I was going to actually like, when I saw that, and I forgot to mention it, I was going to say, we all should do something like that.
Yeah, Dennis. Oh, absolutely. And Dennis was actually on that. Dennis, he had the big flag behind him.
I saw that in the Satanic Study Hall shirt.
And then
right?
They tagged us, and he was wearing the Satanic Study Hall shirt. They're so social media friendly. I can't wait to meet some of them when this COVID shit is all over. We also want to say hi to Allie, our very first patron on Patreon. Allie's been with us from the beginning, ever since this was an idea. We miss you, Allie. Allie's been very busy with school and whatnot. But, Allie, we haven't forgotten about you. Hit us up, and hopefully we can get you back soon. All right, so our last little request, and we don't necessarily ask for too much, but we ask that you tell a friend about Satanic Study Hall. Tell somebody whether you think they might be down with the cause or they might have some conflicting views. Let them know about us. It helps us all grow when we discuss and tackle issues where we might not, meet up on. We also ask that you review us on social media. Leave some reviews on our social media page, on Apple Podcasts, wherever you have the opportunity to give some feedback and just help spread the word about some of the crazy shit we've learned about so far and some of the shit we've done in class. So, Al, Veronica, we did it again. There's one more episode in the books. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been a long night. I know I'm tired. I have, I'm a little stoned. I'm not going to lie, but it's been a long day. I think everybody is tired. Al has done a lot of talking, but rightfully so, because this was fucking a spectacular journey.
That was fantastic. I feel thoroughly educated today in study hall.
I'm going to research the case some more. And, I've got some thinking to do on some of the shit that you said. So thanks for being here. And we hope to see you again very soon. This lovely bench of degenerates.
Thanks for having me. If I could just finally wrap it up kind of saying one thing, we've all gone through shit in our lives. We all hit that dark place and we feel that there's, no coming back from it, whether it's your, being molested or shit with your family or you're having a substance abuse issue. There are people in your life that love you. If you need help, get help. Be strong. Take care of yourself. Peace out.
Ave Satanas.
Ave Satanas.
Class is dismissed.